You're listening to Pyro Media Network, setting radios ablaze since 2017.
Hi, you've reached Kwame.
And Christy.
And we're from I'd Rather Not Podcast. Leave a message.
Everybody, welcome to the show. The rules of engagement are really quite simple. So if you can pull yourself away from Grindr for 2 seconds, listen up.
Let's have a kiki.
I want to have a kiki.
Lock the doors.
Right.
Let's have a kiki.
What is going on, I'd Rather Not? We are back with another episode of I'd Rather Not Podcast. I am your host, Kwame, joined by the beautiful, the glitteracious, the gorgeous, Christy Champagne.
Why, hello, Mr. Kwame.
What is going on?
It is a beautiful morning / afternoon since I just woke up and poured a cup of coffee.
Yes, I am sipping on water. I'm. If you guys are hearing me, I am actually not feeling well. But I am powering through because we have a schedule to maintain. And we promise to make sure that we are going to be very diligent about recording this year. So that is one of our rules. So I am powering through and we're going to get into it. So,
and I am also coming off of being sick as well. So we're doing it, Kwame.
Digitally? Is that what you're saying? You sent it to me digitally? Is that what you're saying?
I did. Yeah. I sent it in an email. Yeah.
I hate you.
It was an attachment. You opened it. It's totally your fault.
Right, and clearly I need to fire IT because they did not have the proper firewalls up.
So that did not get through the spam filter.
Okay. But yes, but we're here.
You know, it's that time of year. It's that time of year. Yeah. And it has been like balls cold, you know, here in Seattle right now. So it's like the cold just got us, girl.
Yeah, it's cold everywhere. It's like, I think everywhere except Florida.
It's cold. So we're going to Florida?
No.
never.
I won't say never because I'm feeling a lot more motivation about it. I won't say never, but
unless you guarantee me we're going straight to Disney World, I would not like to stay in Florida.
Right. Shout out to my brother and my sister-in-law who went. Recently to Disney World, and they were sending me pictures and stuff. I was like, yay. I felt like I was like participating with them because they were sending me videos and stuff and stuff like that. And the Star Wars world is like insane.
It's crazy. Insane. I got to see the one in California.
Yeah.
And it's we got to do all the stuff except for the main ride, which is I believe it's called Rise of the Resistance, I think is what it's called.
Mm-hmm.
I could be wrong. And because the line was like, because it was still kind of brand new when we went. Mm-hmm. And the line was like really long. And so we were in line for another ride that was really, really cool. And shout out to the very nice lesbians that were standing in front of us and realized we were family and turned around and started talking to us. And taught me how to use the app to get a spot, to like reserve a spot for the ride. Mm-hmm. And so we reserved a spot for the very last ride of the night, like, mm-hmm. and it said we were all good. We were like so stoked because Star Wars Land, it's like I could have stayed there all day long just in that section of the park alone. Mm-hmm. And incredibly long story short, just as we're getting ready to like walk over early to like get there, they sent us a message through the app that said the ride was down for the rest of the night and we would need to reschedule for tomorrow. So we got to do everything there except for the one ride, but it's fucking bomb. It's pretty bomb.
We love. All right, y'all. We're going to go ahead and talk about some things. First of all, today's topic is probably one that is, I feel, generation bound. And so, like, you know, older gays or, like, you know, millennials, like, you know, Christy and myself, like, may have an issue with, like, some of the Gen Z gays with, like, or vice versa, whatever. But I just want to just say, these are our opinions. This is not, you know, this is not predicated on the entire gay LGBTQI plus alphabet group rainbow child. Opinion as a whole, okay, as a community. So these are our opinions. These are, you know, whatever. So we're going to talk about Mean Girls and the new movie Excuse me, the remake. Is it a remake or a re? Yeah, it's a remake because it's not a continuation, right? It's a remake.
I believe so. If I've done my homework well enough, it is a complete remake. So yeah. it is basically, we're talking about Mean Girls. It's like, it's not called Mean Girls 2. It's just called Mean Girls, which is the same name of the original film.
Yeah.
And it's like, I think it's literally the same story.
Yeah, so the original one was in 2004, and that was starred Lindsay Lohan, Rachel McAdams,
yeah,
Lacey Chabert, Amanda Seyfried, like a whole bunch of the original stars. And then 20 years later, now we're having the 2024 Mean Girls, which is starring Renee Rapp, Avatika Vanderpump. Napoo, forgive me if I'm mispronouncing her name. Christopher Brealey, Tina Fey is still in it, so shout out to her. Ashley Park. There's a whole bunch of different Gretchen Wiener is being played by B.B. Woods.
Yeah.
Regina George is being played by Renee Rapp. Who's playing Katie?
Oh, I believe it's Caddy.
Caddy, excuse me. stop trying to make fetch happen, Christy.
Stop trying to make fetch happen.
And Gory Rice is being played by Katie. Mm-hmm. Her. So yeah.
And Renee Rapp actually played Regina George in the stage musical.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now there are some returns. So we have Tina Fey, obviously, like I said, who's playing Miss Norberry, yeah. And then Tim Meadows, who is playing Principal Duval, which is hilarious.
He's so funny.
He's so hilarious to me. I don't see a lot of other.
Nope.
I think they're the only two.
Nope, that's it. And here's the thing: having done my research before we started recording today. Let's start with
oh wait, I'm sorry, Jenna Fisker is coming back as Mrs. Herod.
Oh, okay.
Oh, Miss Herod. Yeah.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Let's preface this with if the intro did not give it away enough, I personally will not be going to see this new Mean Girls.
I also will not be going to see this new girl. I'm sorry.
That's no offense to everybody's hard work. That's no offense to anybody who worked on the film. Good job. Great job, everybody. Get your life. However, I just think that, like, we didn't need it. And here's the thing. So at Christmas time, there was, I believe it was a Walmart commercial, I believe, if I'm correctly. And it basically was like all of the like original people in mm-hmm. this commercial.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was for Black Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, basically it felt to me like when we got to see this commercial, because this commercial came out before I heard anything about the remake.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went into the holiday season thinking, oh, this is going to be really cool. They've gotten this cast together. And I heard they're making a new film. They're going to be making a Mean Girls 2.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so we get all excited. All the original people are in the commercial. You know, Lindsay Lohan, all the original Mean Girls, everybody. Cool. This is going to be rad, right? And then boom, all the promo for this new one comes out. And there's not a damn one of them in it.
A lie.
And it's not even a, like, continuation. It's just literally the same storyline.
And let me say this. Let me say this. It's a musical, yes. And listen, I'm here for a musical, right? I'm here for a good old musical. I'm here to do a kickball change and a pot of ore.
Yeah.
And then, okay. And a sachet, okay. I'm here for all of the movements and the
completely.
Things. Okay, I'm here for the jazz hands, and I'm here for it.
Yes, Fosse,
Madonna. Yes,
Yes. Michael Kidd.
Ailey. Like we're here, okay? Mm-hmm. And we're queer. I'm here for it. The musical thing is not a problem for me. I enjoyed Legally Blonde musical. I enjoyed Rent. I enjoyed even the Mean Girls musical. All of it, fabulous. Color Purple, great. All of it.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Love musicals, yes.
In the Heights, all of that jazz.
Yes.
Hamilton. Shall I go on? No.
No, we problem, don't need
My problem with this is that I'm over making stuff that we don't need to remake. Certain things are just fine the way they were.
Leave it alone. I
mean? For example, The Craft. It is legendary. Uh-huh. Okay? Mm-hmm. Yes, and for those who are super saved, okay, you may not like The Craft or whatever, but for us gaylings, we love The Craft because it was just so campy. And it was fun. It was angsty. It was all of that stuff. And then when you bring in a continuation of it or an alleged continuation of it, instead of giving us the continuation of the original story, and it doesn't make any damn sense.
Right.
Like, it bothered us. And then you're remaking things that did not need to get remade. Like, Mean Girls was one of the last things that I thought that y'all would go and pay money to try to remake. If you would have extended the story, totally would have made sense. I would have been like, oh, okay, we're going to extend the story. We're going to go into a chapter two. We're going to have conversation. But what you're doing is you're going to do a whole new cast, right? And completely revamp it. And I'm not knocking. Like, I love the fact that you guys are doing different things. You're trying to, like, for example, like, Damien is being played. The original Damien was played by Daniel Franzese, who I believe, if I'm not mistaken, is a part of the community, but I don't want to mess that up.
All three of the main male characters in the original Mean Girls are played by gay men.
Perfect. So, yes. Yeah, because he was in, what was that movie on HBO? Looking? He was in Looking. Yeah, yeah. Daniel Franzese was in Looking. Mm-hmm. But the new Damien is being played by Jaquel Spivey. Totally fine with that. I love that you guys are incorporating color, people of color, showing representation. Okay, cool. But this movie, I saw an article on pinknews.com. Shout out to the pinknews.com. But I thought this was silly.
Yeah.
Like, the article was entitled "How Mean Girls Changed the Lives of a Generation of Queer People: A Gay Awakening." Yes.
Well, and that's my thing. These things are iconic. Leave them alone. Like, right. They reached that iconic status for a reason. Like you brought up The Craft and like all of these things. It's like, leave it the fuck alone.
Yeah,
like,
leave it alone.
Leave it the fuck alone. There's a reason that it's become so iconic, is because it's like, I mean, I don't want to say like a masterpiece, because it's not like, you know, Mean Girls didn't win an Oscar or anything, but like, it was perfect just the way it is. We didn't need you to make another one.
Nobody asked for it.
Like, and what? Like, who did? Who? Millennials? Girl, please. Like,
I don't think millennials asked for it.
And I don't think they did either. I don't think Gen Z, Gen X, millennials, I'm nobody. Nobody.
I don't even think Gen Z really knew.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I get it. Like, you know, like I said, it would have been cool. And I'm probably gonna watch them when it comes on streaming, but I'm not gonna go pay to see it. I'm sorry. I'm absolutely not.
Yeah. No. When it's free, I'll watch it for sure. Yeah, and here's the thing. I don't want us to come off like some old setup. I don't want us to sound like the fucking two old guy Muppets, you know, up in the balcony talking shit. But it's just like, it you know, literally we both feel the same way. So that's just how the cookie's crumbling in this particular topic. But and it's like, leave it the fuck alone.
And I don't think that it's going to be a bad movie. I just
don't see the purpose of it. Yeah, no. Well, yeah, same here. Agreed. I don't want to say like, oh, I think it's going to be bad. No. But like, because there's I definitely hope
that the girls, you know, who are in it, you know, get their just desserts. You know,
absolutely.
These are opportunities for people to grow their careers. So I'm not knocking that. Like, I don't want that to be. But my issue is that, like, sometimes stop capitalizing on the gay community. That's what I feel.
And just to go back to these girls, it's like, one of those girls is the voice of Moana. Like, you know?
Yeah, I think it's What's her name?
Ollie Cavallo?
Yes.
Excuse me if I did not pronounce that correctly, but
I think it's Aaliyah.
Cavallo.
Forgive us if we mispronounce it, but she amazing voice.
Yeah,
amazing
absolutely.
Voice. You know, so like, I'm not knocking them.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, I just don't think this is necessary. Oh wait, it's John. I think. Do they have the same Coach Carr?
Oh my God, that would be hilarious.
Yeah, no, Coach Carr was played by Dwayne Hill. This new Coach Carr is being played by John Hamm.
Oh, which is also really hilarious, actually.
Yeah.
John Hamm is too funny.
Yeah.
Again, like you said, like I will watch this when it hits streaming and I don't have to pay for it, but I am by no means going to go to the movie theater and spend $20 to see this.
No, ma'am.
Sorry. Unless somebody else pays for it and the money does not come directly out of my pocket.
Yeah.
So if any of our Seattle listeners want to take me to the movie to see this and pay for it, I'll be happy to go with you and keep my opinion to myself till the end of the movie. However, like, my hard-earned dollars are not going to pay for this directly.
I can't.
I went to the store to look for some cans and they were all out.
They were all out and I can't.
I got a rain check.
I checked my purse and there's no cans.
I looked in the couch cushions and there was
no cans.
The fridge is completely empty of
cans.
Welcome. That's what we should change the name of our podcast.
I can't.
Forget. It's no longer. I'd rather not. Ladies and gentlemen, I just
feel like it's just obnoxious. Like it's just obnoxious. This entire
see what y'all did. Y'all got me and Kwame all worked up.
Yeah, I'm getting riled up because it's like you know what it is. You know what it is, Christy. I think this is what it is. This is what pisses me off about the whole
situation. You know what really grinds my gears?
You know what really pops my popcorn? You know what really like really gets me? It's the fact that like you guys are playing in our face. When I say you guys, I mean like the industry, the executives, the people who are funding these projects, right?
Yeah.
There are plenty of projects out there that are queer based, that are queer focused, that are amazing and could be really dope things. For example, Noah's Ark, you know, or for example, I don't know, like this, what was that? I think it was a Boy Crazy, a Boy Something, Boy Zone. What was the name of that movie? But there's a lot of different things that you can go with. There's even projects that we haven't even heard of that have not even gotten off of its ground yet, you know,
that
are really good stories that can be funded and really tell something. And I get it. I understand how transmedia works. I understand how media works. And I'm not saying transmedia as in transsexuals. I'm talking about or transgender, but transmedia as in the idea of taking media and moving it into different sectors of and different platforms and media outlets, right?
Yeah.
So I understand how media works. I get it. I understand that because Mean Girls has a name, that's why people will, and has a brand awareness and brand recognition, people will opt to go and watch a second Mean Girls rather than John Doe and Bubba Ray. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Meet, you know, goes to Paris. Who has no brand recognition? Who's a new? They're new writers, new actors, new everything. So we don't know them, right? Even if you put some names into that movie, the movie doesn't have any brand recognition, right? And so people are only going to go see it because they're fans of the actors that are in it.
Yeah.
But so we get that. We understand. But my issue is that to kind of cowtail it to being a gay thing, it's really frustrating because it's like I want to see stories that represent me.
Yeah,
I want to see stories that represent people like me. I want to see stories that, you know, and I'm not saying that, you know, we can have Mean Girls and you can have more representation in it. Okay, great. But what I'm saying is the story of Mean Girls is not a gay story. It is just something that gay people were attracted to, and it was fun to popularize it and make it trendy.
But which it's is not why it became such a gay, an iconic gay representation kind of thing, because it wasn't direct.
Right, yeah. Right. But my thing is, why can't we make things direct? Why can't we
have absolutely.
Those types of conversations, those stories?
Absolutely. And
so for me, it's like, you know, we had all this money to make, you know, a thing.
Yeah.
You know, why not make the thing that would be representative of the people, you know? Yeah.
100.
So, yeah, I don't know. It's weird.
I agree with every sentiment you just said. If I had more to add, I would not, but you are speaking the gospel in my heart today.
And I'm not trying to knock it. I wanted to succeed because there are people on here. Like, I would love to see Jaquel Spivey in other shows. I would love to see Mahi Alam in other shows. I would love to see Morgan McKenzie in other shows. I would love to see Ashley Park in other shows and other things or whatever. I would love to see the girl from Moana. I would love to see her in different things. Tim Meadows continue to work. You know what I'm saying? I would love to see all of these people, you know, continue to work and do things or whatever. Avantika. I would love to see her do more things, you know? So I just want things to be a little bit more transparent. And it just feels like people are playing in our face. And then let's put a couple of, like, you know, sachets and kickball canes and call it, you know, a musical and make it cute. And then let's, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, let's feed it into it and like distract them from whatever else is going on. There's real life issues going on in the world. And there are real life conversations that need to be had, real life stories that would be phenomenal to make real. I would love, and then, like, for example, like when you whitewash certain things, like, you know, what happened with, oh my God, what is the, Stonewall. Thank you. In my head. So, when you whitewash things like Stonewall, the story of Stonewall, and you kind of like almost keep Marsha P. Henson's story, you know, invisible almost, you know, to the point where she was like, it bothers me. So when you have Moonlight, which to me is one of the most beautiful movies ever created, because of just how it was. However, it didn't go deep enough, right? Yeah. It didn't go deep enough, and I think that that's partly because of other reasons and factors within the Black community. But that's another type of situation. That's another conversation for another day. Yeah. But my point is at the end of the day, we have these things where we only get a little bit of, like, I loved Noah's Ark. I thought Noah's Ark was a phenomenal representation of Gen X gay men, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I thought it was a great, at least a portion of it, you know, like, not even the full portion. I'm not saying that everybody is like that, but what I'm saying is that it was a great,
like Noah's Ark, the L Word, Queer as Folk.
My thing is like, for me, like, even the L Word, I thought was far superior than Queer as Folk in my personal
opinion. Absolutely.
Phenomenal storytelling. That was a crit, and I don't like, you know, Snack. That was just, you know, I was hooked into the L Word. I think I liked L Word. The L Word more than I'm almost positive I like the L Word more than I like Queer as Folk. And I love Queer as Folk. I was a huge fan of Queer as Folk. I was a huge fan of Noah's Ark. I just was absorbing all things gay at that time because there was so little of it. But now we have such a vast array of different types of things. Even lower budget movies, you know, are still very interesting to watch, you know? But my point is that, like, why don't we have major movies like that? So it's just like, you know, I don't know. I know this is probably veering off from the reason why we don't like, or why we're not going to watch the
movies. No, absolutely. Girls.
But, like, at the end of the day, I just wish that, like, we just stopped playing this game, because is it a gay awakening of the generation of queer people, or is it only an awakening for a certain portion of the queer community, you know? So I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I saw a headline the other day that was like talking about, like, banning the word openly gay. And I feel like that kind of goes into that same kind of thing where it's like, why do we have to say somebody is openly gay?
Yeah.
Like, why can't we just say this person's gay? Or why do we even have to say that they're gay?
Yeah.
You know, like, and I get that, like, I get labels. I get it. It's something that we're just not going to be able to hide from.
Yeah.
However, it's that same kind of thing. It's like, why do we have to say openly gay? You know, why can't we just have representation? Why do we have to, like, go out of our way and, like, hide it and slowly integrate? It's like, no, just have representation. And not just for the gay community or the LGBTQ plus I, you know, all the alphabet community. Like, we need to have representation. Why can't we just have representation for everything? Why does it have to be so, like, underlined and, like, slow? It's like, no, just do it. Like, we don't need to say openly gay. We don't need to say openly lesbian. Like, we're just gay. We're just lesbian. We're just men. We're just women. We just, like, let it be and just do it, you know? Like,
let's deep dive into it. I think that's a very good question, but let's take a quick commercial break because we got to pay some bills. But I want to definitely deep dive into that, Chrissy, because I think that's a very important conversation. And I think it actually opens up into what we're talking about regarding Mean Girls and stereotypes and different things and the fracturing of like communities in order for you to, you know, identify and have a spot or space. But we'll get into that right after this commercial break. We'll be right back.
In a world filled with diversity, where radical faith and progressive believers come together, there's a place that's breaking all boundaries and embracing believers from all walks of life. Introducing Bullet and Flight Radio, an inclusive progressive network for all believers. At Bullet and Flight Radio, we're dedicated to providing a platform for progressive believers and inclusive organizations. On our platform, get ready to hear traditional gospel, contemporary gospel, inspirational gospel house music, plus family-friendly house party, classic R&B hits, and our flagship show, Bullet and Flight Talk. Our unique community is based out of the Motor City Sound to the vibrant culture of California. But it doesn't end there. We are proud to be an ally and a safe haven for those with no labels and those who proudly identify as LGBTIQ+. We believe in radio excellence and education, and we're here to serve a progressive audience. Here at Bullet and Flight Radio, we are more than just a radio station. We are a resource for music and inspiration that promotes positivity and fosters a sense of mental, emotional, and spiritual wellness. So whether if you're searching for uplifting music, thought-provoking conversations, or a supportive community, Bullet and Flight Radio is here for you. At Bullet and Flight Radio, everyone is welcome. We believe in divine love, acceptance, and diversity. Join us today on this extraordinary journey of faith, progressiveness, and inclusivity. Connect with us today and become a part of our inspiring community. Bullet and Flight Radio, where believers unite, boundaries break, and love triumphs.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. That was the most beautiful commercial I have ever listened to, Kwame.
So pretty, so pretty.
So well put together, so well put together. Well, listen here. So we're talking about Mean Girl. Well, we were talking about Mean Girls, the remake, and we kind of started getting into this topic about, like, representation and being openly gay and how we don't really need that term. And so, like, I just thought we could keep going and talking about that. I feel like it's an important topic to talk about.
Yeah, and I want to, I loved how you brought that up because, and opened the conversation or the doors to that conversation because, like I mentioned in the previous half of the show, I talked about or mentioned a article that was written by Marcus Ratton. And it's from thepinknews.com, and it says how the title of it is How Mean Girls Changed the Lives of a Generation of Queer People at Gay Awakening. And we talked about how more than likely we're not going to go watch this movie. but it further opened up the conversation about being openly gay versus just being, you know, the stereotypes and all of that stuff, and just being. I want to read an excerpt from his from the article, and it says, quote, "For a generation of queer people who entered the jungle that is high school in the mid-2000s, Mean Girls and its characters resonated deeply, depicting outsiders fighting for survival and newcomers finding their tribe. Most notably for gay men, Daniel Franzese, too gay to function, Damien was an awakening. Damien as a queer person was probably the first instance of a gay character I ever saw on screen where I was explicitly told, this guy's gay, Drew says. When Drew would discuss the film with his friends at school, they would typecast him as Damien. Quote, I was in the closet. I was like, I don't know if I like that. That's not something that I want to aspire to be, he admits. Yeah. But since coming out and embracing that side of myself, I wouldn't want to be any other character other than Damien. So that was very interesting. But that's one of my points, and really what Christy and I are trying to say is that at some point I'm getting tired of hearing, oh, that's a gay wedding, or that's a gay church, or that's a gay restaurant, or that's a gay club. Yep. Can we just have, that's a club, that's a wedding, that's an actor.
And that is kind of like, no, that's by no means trying to like degrade and take away like our queer spaces and things like that. It's just that like it doesn't need to be, it doesn't need to have that word gay attached to it. Because it's like you said, it's just a bar, it's just a restaurant, it's just a whatever, you know. It's like it doesn't need to have that word gay attached to it, like you know.
And people like act like there's not, like, the same things that happen at gay bars are very similar to what happens at straight bars or whatever. People are having sex in the hallways and the bathrooms, girl, in both situations, so it doesn't matter. Okay. Completely. You know, people are having sex on the dance floor, you just don't see it, and because everybody's covered around and hot and it's dark, it's happening, girl. It's happening
they did it girl
but my point is that, like, at the end of the day, like, you know, I think a lot of these conversations, you know, now things are becoming a little more normalized or typical now. I hate the word normal, but things have become more normalized, for lack of a better expression, where, you know, you're just seeing a person as a person. And I think that's part of the reason why I'm a little annoyed about the whole Mean Girls remake. Because it's kind of like, oh, well, we're only bringing this in because it's a gay movie, so we need to capitalize on gay. And I know that probably sounds super hipster, and it sounds like, you know, super Rage Against the Machine, but, like, it's just annoying. It's like, why can't we just have, like, if we're gonna do something for the community, let's really talk about these conversations.
Yeah.
Let's really have, like, if it's gonna be Mean Girls, why couldn't we have a Mean Girls situation where it was Mean Guys?
Yeah.
You know, if it's going to be Mean Girls, because the story of Mean Girls, like, because that in and of itself, for example, one of the reasons why Ariel, the Little Mermaid, is such a big deal to certain people, it's because of the fact that, like, it's about a girl who's trying to find herself and become and really accept who she is as a mermaid. She wants to be a human. She wants to be something else, because that's what society says that it's the norm. Right. And so that's why, you know, a lot of gay men, you know, respond to that. Even with Frozen, a lot of gay men really responded to Frozen because of the fact that it's like, you know, she's had to accept something that was inside of her that is her. Right. Yeah. And her powers and using her powers, you know, or whatever, that she was fearful of harming other people, or people not liking her, or people looking at her, or whatever.
Different. You drop in two Disney references. You better work, Kwame. I must be rubbing off on you. I'm definitely.
I love Disney, girl.
I like what you said. Like, why couldn't it be Mean Gays? And shout out to Todrick Hall.
Yeah.
Because if you go to his YouTube channel and you type in Mean Boys, Todrick Hall did this like 5-minute little like basically like a trailer.
Mm-hmm.
That was basically the same as the Mean Girls trailer, but with all gay guys. And it's like, why could I want to get that movie? I want that made into a full-length film. Like
that.
Mean Boys. Like just and that's the thing. So if you're gonna do it, fucking go for it and do it balls to the wall. If you want to, if you want this to be some sort of like gay representation and you want to like make it this thing, fucking go for it. You know, like it's like think about films like things that rocketed the gay community, you know, into new heights were things like Brokeback Mountain, you know, like films that were unapologetically about gay things without like hiding it, you know, like without like putting it under, you know, and I hate to say this, without like straight washing it, you know, like,
yeah,
it's like, you know, think about like a Chuang Fu, for instance.
Yeah.
Throw it in their face, you know, like just make it about what it needs to be about and don't like try to like freaking hide it, you know, like just let's just do it, you know, like,
yeah,
it, instead we get these things where, you know, we get these like kind of gay characters or, you know, a hint that the character is gay. Just make the character gay. Like, you don't even have to say it. Just make them gay and represent it to the point where we're not questioning it. You know, like Elsa, for instance, you know, they want us to believe that she's a lesbian and they throw these little like hints to where it's like, oh, we're going to all understand that she's a lesbian, but we're not going to talk about it.
That's what it is.
Like that's what they talk about it. Like,
and that's my issue with Mean Girls. It's like, you know, yeah, it was played by cisgender heterosexual women. You know what I'm saying? So and not bi, but it was the characters were cisgender heterosexual women. So like the Mean Girls, and then also you know it's like Gretchen and all of them. They were all girls, and so it's like that's not knocking anything. Like I don't care about the situation, but if you're gonna sit there and make it seem like, oh, this is a story about gay men and about gay representation, okay, cool. Bros that came out 2 years ago, I thought that was an okay movie. Again, I have issues with movies that are just strictly about, like, you know, that has, I mean, they had some decent representation in there, but it's not our story. It's like my story, like my, from my community. So I would like to see more of our stories being told, but like, if we're gonna, like, let's have movies like that. If we're gonna have those type of situations, you know?
It's really funny because while we're talking about this, there's like something that's like, I'm thinking of in the back of my head. And I want to shout out to one of our listeners who I'm sure will be listening to this. Her name is Stephanie. And
Hey,
Stephanie. She's a very good friend of mine, and we talk all the time, a super close friend. And she has a young son, and a big thing in their house is a show called Bluey, not to, like, steer off of the topic, but a big show in their house is called Bluey. It's basically a cartoon for kids. It's about a dog family. They're Australian. It's an Australian-made show. But it talks about like actual serious topics in this show, but like a lot of it is kind of like, I don't want to say underlined, but it's not like abrupt, but it's enough to where it's like, the point of this is to like teach children about life. It's not just a like silly cartoon show. It's like actual like topics. And anytime there's something serious going on in my life, my friend Stephanie will send me and say, oh my God, watch episode 14 of Bluey. It's called this, and it is completely about what's going on in your life right now. And when I tell you, this has happened at least 3 times, she has sent me a Bluey episode and I watched it, and it has completely like blown my mind that it's like completely about what we're talking about. And so it's like, I'm just thinking to myself, like, I wonder if there's a Bluey episode about representation in the gay community. Like,
yeah.
I should ask her if there's a Bluey episode about being gay.
Yeah, because I think that is a you know, a big thing. And I understand, I get escapism, right? I also get escapism where, you know, sometimes you don't want to think about all of the problems that are going on in the world. Sometimes we have a privilege as Americans, you know, that is almost second to none, right? Where we can shut off everything that goes outside of the borders of the United States and just kind of like, you know, turn on our TV, turn on our tablet, turn on our laptop and watch something that, that takes us away from the world, you know? And we don't have to deal with craziness, right? There's a way for us to do, or we can listen to it on a podcast, or we can escape from the world. So I'm not knocking Mean Girls for being a form of escapism, or this new Mean Girls rather. But what I'm saying is that if we're going to invest in stuff, we need to invest in stuff that is going to really represent and feel good about our community. You know, we, there's issues that are going on in our community that needs to be voiced. There's issues in our community that needs to be talked about. And if we're going to create, you know, situations, we should be able to do it and represent us. So I don't know. I don't know.
No, I agree.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay. That's all I got to say about
that. That's all I got. I'm going to get off my soapbox now.
Nah, stay on the soapbox. It's a fun place to be.
No, but I definitely want to, I want to, you know, I'm going to see it eventually. I'm just not going to go pay to see it. So I wish the best of luck and everything. And I hope it's all good to go.
Speaking of gay topics, not to like completely veer off what we've been talking about, but it just flashed across my news feed. I wasn't aware of who was playing the halftime show at the Super Bowl this year. And apparently it's Usher.
Oh yeah, yeah. We reported that on Pyro Power Hour I think it was a month or so ago.
I'm like, okay, yes, with the R&B and Usher. I'm like, baby, he better sing all the bops. That's for sure. He better sing the bops. And can we talk about the NFL hiring Reba McEntire and Post Malone to sing the national anthem?
Oh God,
girl. Okay, so here it like literally Reba McEntire is going to be singing the national anthem, and then Post Malone is going to be following it up with America the Beautiful. I'm like, Reba McEntire and Post Malone. I'm like, could that not be the farthest from there? Like,
that's very strange.
They're like, it's so strange, but is it strange enough to where we're all intrigued? We're all like, oh, I cannot wait to see how this turns out.
Absolutely not. I'd rather not.
I can't.
And I won't. I'm not interested in seeing that line.
And here's the thing: I'm going to Vegas the weekend of the Super Bowl because the Super Bowl is being held in Vegas this year. Mm-hmm. And literally, the Super Bowl is on the 11th, and I'm going to Vegas the 9th and the 10th to go see Adele. Mm-hmm. And like, the Super Bowl is still the last. Like, I'm literally going to the city that the Super Bowl is going to be in weekend of the Super Bowl, and it's the last thing I'm going to be thinking of.
Like, the last.
The last. Like, literally the last thing I'm going to be thinking about.
It's hilarious. Well, that is all we got for you, folks. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. If you're just tuning in, make sure you listen. This is a podcast, but make sure you re-listen to the entire show. We hope you guys enjoyed it. Leave some comments, send some comments in to Pyro Media Network. You know, let us know what you think of the show. Let us know if you have any ideas or even have any comments to it. If you're
we love
listening, so make sure you send those in as well by going to pyromedianetwork.com. You can go ahead and send your listener letters there, or you can send it directly to info@pyromedianetwork.com and make sure you label it listener letter, and they'll send it over to our team and make sure it gets to us. So
yeah,
thank you guys.
What oh no, go ahead, baby.
Oh no, go ahead before we go.
I was just gonna say, when your friend calls you up and asks you to go see the new Mean Girls in theaters, what do you tell them?
Absolutely, I'd rather not.
I'd so rather not.
Rather not. Bye, you guys.
Love y'all. Bye.
Oh, what a wonderful kiki.
This episode is brought to you by Pyro Media Network. Produced by Pyro Media Productions, setting brands ablaze since 2017. Thank you for listening.